We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. My name's Tina Dobbs. I'm sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Pastor Kevin Akins. How are you this morning?
Good morning, everyone. I'm good.
It's good to see you.
It's good to be back in here.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can email it to us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. Or you can comment on the Facebook post and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
You're getting so good. Y'all so good. Yes, let's pray. Let's pray and get this going today. Father God, you are incredible, God. We are so very blessed to have it within our heart, God, to know that we've made the decision to follow after you. God, we ask you now at this time that you would take this word that's going out and send it to all corners of this world. And God, I pray that you circulate it around in every area, all around, everywhere, God. And I just pray that today will be a new day that opens eyes. I pray that today will be a new day that lives can be changed. I pray that today will be a new day that things can start again anew. And God, let it be fresh in our lives. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like your title. A supernatural life.
Supernatural life. You know, it's just a crazy thing. It's a... You know, it's crazy that a lot of people are wanting that supernatural life, but they don't know how to find it. Mm-hmm. But it's all over the world today. Everybody's looking for it. They want to find it one way. Well, I found something in the Bible that I want to share about it. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, check this out. Let's begin by looking at one particular scripture, and it's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verse 5. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verse 5, there's a lot of things that are going on. The apostles, the close 12 to Jesus, have been in a little bit of conflict. There's been a few little issues. They're doing really great. They're doing way more than what you and I would probably ever do, and they're right hand with Christ all the time. But yet, they still had some issues that they just couldn't quite put their faith in, their belief in. And so they weren't able to do a couple of miracles, actually. And so they went back to Christ and said, why not? And he gives them the answer, this is only by prayer and fasting. But then he comes around, and one of the disciples, they look at him and they say this, Luke 17, verse 5, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. You know, we've been told a lot, you don't pray for patience and you don't ask for your faith to be increased, because if you pray for patience, you're going to get tested. And if you're going to pray that your faith increases, you have not yet faced the test that you're going to get faced. So, but yet the apostles were like, Lord, we want to have the faith to do the miracle things. So the Lord said to them, this is back in there again. I'm at Luke 17. This is verse 6. Look at this. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, to me, this is just a fascinating fact that we read this part about praying, increase our faith. And we really don't have a problem with saying, Lord, I'm in a situation, increase my faith. I really want to believe. I really want to trust you. But, Lord, I'm just not there yet. And just increase my faith, Lord, so that I can be easier with this. But we forget the latter part of that where he says, if you make this command, it will obey you. But when you start making spiritual commands and following the leading of God, and when you start doing what the Lord tells you to do, and those things start obeying you, can you imagine, maybe not a real mulberry tree, I mean, I'm sure it could be, but think about the other problems in your life, the other conflicts in your life, the situations in your life, the broken relationships in your life, even though you want them back, does God really want that back in there? And when God begins to piece things back and he drops it in your heart, speak to this so that that problem is moved out of your life. Then you have the authority. Mm-hmm. It will obey you. But we have too many people living in the negative, in the doubts, the fears, the anxieties, the grumpiness of it all. But yet we serve a God that is a supernatural God. Now, before I really get into the sermon, I just want to touch base on just a couple of things. And I want to make sure that you believe this, and I want to make sure that it's in your heart to do this. Because you cannot experience a supernatural life, first of all, if you don't believe that creation was supernatural.
Right.
I know this world was here. I know that it was without form and void, and I know it was dark, and I know the Spirit of the Lord came upon it. Well, I know that because I've read that, but I know that down in my heart, just to be real. Even if the Bible wasn't giving me the information for it, I would still, but it's because it's what we know. But the creation that God made on this earth, supernatural, you are supernatural. There are still many things about this human body that doctors can't explain. They can't figure it out. They don't know why this one does one thing while that one does something totally different all the time. You know why? Because we're a supernatural creation. Mm-hmm. We have been created by the supernatural power of God. We could take this to one step further. One time it happened in this world. One time only did it ever happen in this world. And that's the birth of Jesus Christ. Do you really believe that? Do you truly believe that it's a virgin birth of Jesus Christ? Because if you don't, then you're going to struggle having a supernatural life. If you want a supernatural life, then you got to believe in the supernatural. Mm-hmm. And we have evidence that God's Bible wrote about this. And oh, we get into the big discussion, is the Bible real or is it not real? And I'm like, well, it's outlasted every other book mm-hmm. in the whole length of time. I mean, how much evidence do you need to really show that it's there? But it just goes on and on. There is nothing that is common natural with God. Time is not natural for God. Space, the area that we live in, is not natural with God. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, it's not natural with God. If you want to live a supernatural life, then you're going to have to get into a life format that is following after God. I made a statement yesterday morning in church, and it just won't leave me. We have one lifestyle when we have Jesus Christ in our life. But that is a totally different lifestyle when you are wrapped up in Jesus Christ's life. Mm-hmm. When you're walking with him and following with him, you're not in command of where you're going and what you're doing. When you're living with him and staying with him, you're not in command of what you say or what you do or what you think. And that's where we need to just be in his life all the time. And I know if you're not strong enough to do that, then get him in your life. That's good, because without him in your life or without you being in his life, you don't stand much of a chance in this world. The enemy's just going to take you over so quickly. This generation that we live in today, they want a supernatural life. They're looking for it, but they're more like in a show-me generation. I'll believe in that when I can see it working. I'll believe in that when I see it taking off. I'll believe in that. And they, you know, and this is sad, and sad to my heart anyway. I know many people today that the only reason they believe in Jesus Christ is because Jesus worked a miracle in their life one time. Or that Jesus will do one thing for them once in a while. You know, what about the ones that they don't ever see a miracle? They don't ever see anything like that happen. Do they still believe in Jesus Christ? Will they walk with Jesus Christ? It's when your faith is so strong and your faith is so real, your faith is so moving in you, that's when you're going to experience a supernatural life. When you're walking in that presence. Today, in this generation, I got to tell you, Hollywood has destroyed the supernatural. They make everything happen the way that it ought to happen. And I love it as one man said, this ain't Hollywood, honey. This is reality. Mm-hmm. It don't happen that way. There's no trick cameras anywhere to make this go away. The TV shows today make everything look hyped up and real, and I get that. Computers today can do anything. Man, how it can change our faces and change everything around. Our phones can do so much. But, you know, it's even in our churches. Many of our churches today they would rather perform the act of supernatural, which they're not reaching it. They're not tapping into it, not really doing it, but they're putting on such a great show and a great display. And I don't know, I'm not here to argue that or to fuss with that, because I like the show, I like the display, I think that's great, but where's the true worshipers at? You truly worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, not in activity or of any way. It's in that spirit and truth that goes in. But how do you have a supernatural life? How does it happen? Where does it come from? You know, the Bible tells us that we are children of God. And if we are children of God, then we're entitled to a supernatural life. To live a supernatural life, you first and above all have to have supernatural faith. Mm-hmm. And that faith is more than just accepting that we're a creation, or just accepting that's the way it is, or just accepting this is part of it. If we always want this supernatural life, then we've got to be believing that what we ask him to do, he will do it. What we tell or command or direct evil things in our life to get out, they have to obey. And too many people today, they don't want to do that. They don't want to get that evil stuff out of their life. They don't want to move that away from them. Instead, they would rather live in this format of judgment, and they have a plank in their eye while they're trying to grade the splinter in somebody else's eye. That's scriptural, by the way. Y'all can look that up. Mm-hmm. But check this out. In John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, just a couple of verses of scripture. This is very easy. This is Jesus speaking out one more time, telling to his apostles. And he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me." And I want to highlight that for just a second, because even Jesus said, it's not those who believe in my miracles or believe in my abilities or believe in even in my willingness, but if you believe in me, the works that I do, he will do also. He gives us permission. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. There's a reason for that. Jesus went to his Father. He gave the information to the Father. He's at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for you and me. He's lives to pray for you today. That's just an incredible thing in my mind. I can't imagine. No matter what, I'm already scheduled, because my steps are ordered of the Lord. I'm on scheduled to walk through this world today. And that scheduled walk that I'm on path with, Jesus is already talking to Father God about it and already marking my steps. But I still have to have that supernatural authority that when the enemy comes and tries to knock me off of that path, I have the authority to tell that enemy, get out of my life. Get out of my way. Get away from me. And people say, "Pastor, why are you happy so often?" And I go, "I live a supernatural life." It ain't natural. I just live a supernatural life. And it's time to testify about it. I'm not ashamed of it or afraid of it. And for years, I got mocked and made fun of. And they go, "Oh, there goes Kevin. You know, he thinks he's some kind of supernatural guy." No, I never said I was a supernatural guy. I live a supernatural life. God just makes things happen. There's one thing that happens. I want to share this really quick little testimony. It happens in my life all the time, and it probably does to several, many other people. But it happened to me even this weekend. I walk into a place of business, and there's no one in there. And I'm going, okay, you know, and I get to go up to the counter, and I get attention, get waited on first. And I'm like, this is cool. But before I get out of that business, it is packed with people, and it's busy, and it's just overflowing. Nobody ever thinks about it. They just call it timing or whatever. And I go, nope, I live a supernatural life. And the Bible tells me that my feet, wherever my feet touch, that place is a blessed place. I bless businesses. I know that's crazy, and I hope I get incredible comments all over Facebook. I don't care. I bless businesses by going into businesses. Why do you do that? Are you some kind of supernatural guy? No, I live a supernatural life. And the favor of God blesses, and it follows me, and the favor of God goes with me. Yes. Do I have trials? Do I have trouble? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not super easy everywhere I go. But my faith in Christ always pulls me through that. No matter whether that trial or calamity lasts a day, an hour, a day, 5 days, week, 2 weeks, whatever, I'm going through it, and it's not going to hinder my faith in Jesus Christ and what he does for me. That faith has got to remain strong. If you want a supernatural life, then you have to have supernatural faith. That faith is what makes the difference. Let me take you this way. Let me take you to another passage of Scripture, and I want to show you this one particular passage, and it will show us different lessons that can be learned about a supernatural faith, so that if we have that kind of faith, then we can have that kind of life. Now, this passage of Scripture is found in the Gospel of Mark, and it's chapter 5, and it's verses 25 through 34. I'm going to read to you in the New Living Translation today. I just find it written a little bit different this way, and it just helps me flow with it and go with it. This is the story of the lady with the issue of blood. Now, many of us Christians know it very well. We hear this preached quite often, but there's something in the middle of this that I want to pull out to you today. Remember, what we're talking about is a supernatural life, and the only way to have a supernatural life is to have a supernatural faith. It reads like this, Mark 25, verse 25 and following. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. If I can just grasp him a little, if I can just make contact, there's healing for me. Let's go on, verse 29. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." I want to talk about these four things real quick. If you want a supernatural life, you got to have a supernatural faith. And supernatural faith will always, always bear results. If you're not having results with your faith, then change. Change something. Change your prayer. Change your focus on the Lord. Change something. Examine your own life. Don't let anybody judge you. Examine your own life. And if something is contrary to the word of God, get it out of there. If something is hindering you from the presence of God, get it out of your life. This is your responsibility. This woman pressed in by her faith. If I can just touch him, I will be made whole. So she did it. She pressed in, and instantly she was healed. Instantly there was a result to her faith. And then there is this incredible response from the Lord. And look what he says to her. He calls her daughter. There's a reason for that. He says, "Your faith has made you well." There's a reason for that. "Go in peace." There's a reason for that. "Your suffering is over." There's a reason for that. Jesus said, if you want a supernatural life, then you have to have a supernatural faith that requires you to maintain a proper focus. You have to keep your focus on the source that's going to change your life. Stop. Okay, I'm going to say it anyway. You got to know this is my heart inside of there. We have too much stuff today that causes too many distractions.
Yep.
You know, I know this sounds bad, and I don't want to make anybody mad at me, but it was kind of pleasing here last week, a week ago, when AT&T shut down and our phones wouldn't work for nothing. You know, what was funny was how full the coffee shops were because everybody was trying to find the internet just to work their phone because they couldn't get AT&T to work, you know. And I'm not speaking against AT&T. Stuff happens even in big businesses the way it goes. But, man, some of us just said, praise the Lord.
Right.
We had a reason not to answer the phone. We had a reason not to go with it. Get away from some of that distraction. Do whatever you can. Jesus had to get away from the crowd. He had to go up on the mountain and pray. He had to go out in a lonely place and pray. He had to get away. And we hear that, and preachers preach it all the time, but how often do we really do it? Now, sometimes you can say, you know, early in the morning when I'm doing my chores around the house, I get away, and I just get out there to go do my chores, and it's just me and the Lord. I get that. I really do understand that. But there are other times when you don't need to even be thinking about your chores. Can't you find 15 minutes where you just say, it's me and you, Jesus. I don't even know what I'm supposed to say, and I don't know how to rightly pray, but I want to put my focus back on you. And I'm not here because you did some great miracle for me. I'm not here because some audible voice yelled at me in my ear. I'm here because I just want to be with you, Jesus. You just see how that changes your life. If you could take those 5 minutes a day and do that. Just put your focus back on the right place, because if your focus is on your problem, then whatever you focus on is going to get bigger in your life. Mm-hmm. Your focus on it causes it to grow against you. Your focus on it will lead you into a place of doubt and even self-pity when you say, why is this happening to me? I make this funny statement all the time, but I'm in this group of guys. We ride a lot of motorcycles together. We're always going to different places. And this is the time of the year when we're starting to see some bugs really start coming out and stuff. They're starting to break open. And when it gets warm, a little bit warmer and everything, we have more bugs. But there is nothing more irritating than get a juicy bug that splatters right on your windshield, either on the motorcycle or even on your helmet, on your visor, on your helmet, or even worse than that, when you choose to have an open face and it hits your cheek, you know, and it's just a slimy bug that hits you. It's just there, you know. But I so often, it never fails that when I choose to go down a country road or whatever, big old grasshopper, it's always the biggest, yellow, ugliest looking grasshopper, gonna hit my windshield right. It never lands on the passenger side. Never. It's always on the driver's side, and it's always right between my eyes, you know. It's always right there. And if you're not careful, all you can do is focus. Man, his leg is still there, you know. And you know, all you can see is that big old juicy, ugly-looking thing, because that's where your focus is. If you're not careful, you're going to run off the road. If you're not careful, something else is going to get on the road. But that's your focus. I did have a friend at one time that he carried a particular windshield cleaning agent with him everywhere he went. And if that ever happened to him and that bug was on his windshield right between his eyes, he was pulling over. It didn't matter if he was in the middle of traffic in Oklahoma City or where. It didn't matter. He's pulling over. He's getting that bug off his windshield before he goes any further. And I'm going, well, I'm not that bad. I have learned how to look past the problem. I've learned to look through it, you know, look through the bug and just keep on going. Where's your focus? We're the same way with problems in this world today. When problems come against us and things come against us, everyone does this. I'm included. We have a tendency to focus on the problem more than we focus on our Savior, our Lord. We got to get our proper focus back. Supernatural faith for a supernatural life requires proper focus. Don't focus on the things of the world. This lady, if she focused on the fact that the crowd was in front of her and she couldn't get through the crowd, she didn't. She said, I got to touch Jesus. But she could have focused on the fact of what the world had already told her and what the world had already done. And the world, as much as there's so much good things in the world today, without being super negative about it, I think there's a lot of positive in the world today. In every area, somewhere, there's good. I know I'm one of those guys that I try to find the good in everything. But this world today, it's designed to make you live in a state of doubt, in a state of fear, a state of anxiety, a state where you just go, man, I just give up. I quit. I don't want to follow after this. This woman in this passage, the lesson that we learned from her is she could have given up. She could have quit. But she heard that there was this man called Jesus that was coming by. And her faith rose up and said, you know, all I need to do is touch him. All I need to do is even touch his clothes. All I got to do is get close to him enough to touch him, and I will be made heal. She could have believed the doctor. She could have focused on what the doctors have told her. There's no hope. It's over. We've done everything we can do. She could have focused on the fact that she didn't have any more money. She didn't have any way to pay for it. She didn't have any way to make it happen. She didn't have anything left inside of her that the world requires. The world requires you to have more money to keep up with the people down the street. The world requires you to have more money so that you can have more pleasures. The world requires you to have more than what you actually got. You don't have to have more. Live on your means. Live the way that it is and live with what God has given you and be faithful to give God back the portion that he asked for and watch the blessings come to you. He even gives us this one little statement, and I know I'm crazy, but I feel like the Lord was chuckling when he said, try me in this and see. I love that. What a statement. And some would say, well, he sounded really arrogant. He is. He is the boss of it all. He knows exactly what will take place. He says, try this. Try it and see if I won't make the windows of heaven open up and bless you beyond what you can even imagine. It's the way that God is, but we must keep our focus on the Lord. Even when he's blessing you in the high times, even when he's taking care of you and he's meeting your needs, keep your focus on the Lord and not the focus on the problems. There were things that this lady had to do. She had to get through the crowd. She had to get through the confusion. This world is predominant about confusion. There is so much frustration in this world today. I don't mean to be rude about this at all. And I know there are good news stations that are out there, but they're so confusing because you can listen to side A and they're totally opposite than side B. And both of them, neither one of them will agree with side C. And so you can't figure it out. It's just too confusing. And then it becomes frustrating. But there are so many people today that want to tell me that they are good Christians and they are following after Christ, but they live a frustrated life. They're confused. They don't understand why the city does this, or they don't understand why the businesses do that. And then the worst one comes out when the devil's really got them is when they start saying, why does the church have to do this? Why does the church do that? Why does the church go through this? Why is the church always doing this? To maintain a supernatural life with a supernatural faith, you must focus on Jesus. It must be fixed. Your focus has got to be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness, his glory. You've got to be fixed on his ways, his thoughts, his word. Focus back on his word. We get off track when we don't focus on his word. Get back on focus with who he is. If you want to live a supernatural life, it's not that hard. Have supernatural faith. That's what's hard. Find it in him. Look in him. Stay focused on Jesus. Stay focused about what he's doing today. So I want to talk to you about the second area that we learned from this passage of Scripture. Do we want to do prayer? This is a good time for a break.